Welcome back to Happy Porch Radio, the podcast for ambitious agency leaders. This season is all about Umbraco, the friendly CMS. Join your host, Barry O'Kane, as he talks to web agency leaders and Umbraco experts about the challenges and opportunities that a specific technology like Umbraco brings to our agencies.
Welcome back to Happy Porch Radio, Season 2. In this episode, I speak to Nicholas Westby, an experienced Umbraco developer who works with a company called Rhythm Agency in California. Nicholas shares his story and that of Rhythm Agency. And amongst many other topics, we talk about the Umbraco form builder package that he created called Formulate, and how the agency supported him in the development of this open source project. It is really fascinating to learn about both his interaction with the wider Umbraco and open source community and the reaction of the agency as a whole. So let's meet Nicholas.
My name is Nicholas Westby. I work for a company called Rhythm Agency, and I've been working there for probably about 4 years now. So my current job title there is a lead full stack developer. So that basically means I do back-end work and some front-end work, but my main focus is on the back-end Umbraco side. The way I came across Umbraco was actually my prior job, which was for IGT, International Game Technology. So they make like slot machines. When I started working for them, they wanted to convert their website into Umbraco. I got them up and running with that, and I was at that job for probably 3 years. Yeah, so that's how I got my start.
So you've been working for Umbraco, is that a total of like 7 years altogether?
Yep, roundabouts.
Your first sort of exposure to Umbraco, can you remember, what it was like and how it compared to your previous experience?
Yeah, actually, I could compare it to my previous experience really easily because I didn't have any previous experience. In terms of content management systems anyway. So I had been a developer for a good, half a decade or so. But yeah, I was completely new to content management systems. My coworker at the time, Nate, he actually introduced me to the concept of content management systems and recommended I go with Umbraco. So yeah, that's how I kind of got into it. It was really a recommendation from a coworker.
How's it, developed since then? You stayed with that company for a while and then you moved on to the agency. Is Umbraco part of that kind of those 7 years, or is it a big part, or is it just one of these tools, one of the tools that you've been using?
No, I would say that's probably my strongest skill set is in Umbraco, and that's kind of what I'm known for, is like, the Umbraco guy. So I've been focusing pretty heavily for all those 7 years with my main skill being Umbraco. So back when I was working at IGT, it was just constantly working on their a couple of other websites, actually, IGT.com and MegaJackpots.com. And so there was lots and lots of Umbraco work around that. And then when I moved on to my current job, it's just been Umbraco build after Umbraco build after Umbraco build. So tons and tons of Umbraco websites.
Was it a decision to become the Umbraco guy, like for that to be your specialist?
No, I don't think it was ever really a conscious kind of thing. I just kind of fell into it. So like I said, my coworker recommended it to me. And then I just kind of, really dug in and tried to learn it as best I could. So I watched the Umbraco TV, sort of thing that they offer, signed up for a subscription and watched, I think, probably every single video. And then, read on the documentation and on the forums. And yeah, I was sad at the time because I usually like to learn by reading books. And there was no real viable book on Umbraco at the time. I think someone did write a book on Umbraco, but it's kind of, out of date at this point. And I think at the time it was either out of date or may have not even existed yet. I can't really recall. Actually, now that I think about it, hopefully one of these days someone will write, a solid up-to-date Umbraco book, because that's something that's kind of sorely lacking in the ecosystem right now.
Wouldn't it be a challenge to have something, particularly as Umbraco develops and things change so quickly, would it be a challenge to write a book, like if somebody took on that?
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good point, but that's true of most any technology, right? These books on Angular 2 are coming out, and Angular 4 is going to be released any day now. So, I know the evolution of Angular is a little bit maybe less rapid than it appears according to the version number. But kind of same thing with Umbraco. Like, even though concepts get introduced pretty rapidly, I think a lot of the concepts stick around for a good long while. Like document types, those have been around since I started working with Umbraco. And, now we have the document type compositions, and, there's model builder that is based on the document types. So it does evolve, but there's still the basic concepts, I think. If they were in written form, that written form wouldn't really go out of style as soon as you might expect.
You say there's sort of lots of Umbraco builds that you're involved in with the agency. Is the agency sort of specialist in Umbraco, or are there other tools that they use as well?
We do use other tools. It's kind of just, you know, whatever the clients tend to want. If the client is open to suggestions, we tend to recommend Morocco. But, you know, every now and then we do like a WordPress or a Drupal or, you know, those other content management systems. But for the most part, we tend to focus highly on Morocco.
And do you have any insight or any thoughts on if you're recommending it and the client wants to work with you, why they would want to work with a different platform?
Sometimes it's due to legacy reasons. So they might have maybe their current website is built in WordPress and they want to stick around, or maybe they have some technology people that work for their company that are familiar with WordPress or maybe PHP. So they're kind of maybe more comfortable in those areas. Yeah, there's various reasons for it. But, you know, we try to work with clients wherever we can and, you know, work with whatever they're most comfortable with.
And is there circumstances or clients where you think the agency would not recommend Morocco?
Maybe if it was sort of like a cheaper website build, you know, if they wanted to just take a WordPress theme and get a website up and running very cheaply but not very customized, then a WordPress site might be a little bit more appropriate. But for the level of clients that we tend to work with, usually Morocco is a pretty solid choice.
Would you mind telling me a little bit about the agency, you know, in terms of, you know, size and if the types of clients and the type of work? The listeners are always interested in the background of that sort of thing.
So, like I mentioned, the agency is called Rhythm Agency, and we actually just went through a recent rebrand. So we used to be called Rhythm Interactive. So yeah, Rhythm Interactive, and now just Rhythm Agency. And I think it's been around for around, I would say, 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. So it's been around for a good long while. I think it started with two owners, and they started, I think it was like a some sort of music business, like they were selling CDs or something. But then, you know, some people asked them, hey, could you make a website for us? And then more and more people started asking them that, so they started making more and more websites. And then it just, yeah, it grew over time. So now I think the agency is somewhere around like 30, 40 people maybe. And I think of those, it's probably 10 to 15 developers. So it's pretty heavily weighted towards developers, I think, as compared to some other shops that might have, you know, more designers, more project managers, people in those sorts of roles. And then in terms of the levels of clients, we're pretty much all the way across the board. So some of the websites I've worked on are Accuride.com, AllCareHealth.com. See, there's a local one is 10c.org, SunriseGrowers.com. Some of the bigger ones you might have heard of are like Jacuzzi. So working on their Jacuzzi.com site. Their SundanceSpas.com site. FirstHealth.org was another one that I worked on. There was Celestron.com. They basically sell like telescopes and other optical equipment like, you know, microscopes and such. Ceres.com is another one. BrandingBusiness.com. And Branding Business is actually one of our partners as well. We've worked on Scan Health Plan. We work on some of the Irvine Company websites. It's like Irvine Company Retail and so on. So yeah, we're pretty much across the board. We're experienced with smaller to much bigger clients.
Yeah, that's a very big range and different industries and different types. You're covering e-commerce and the sort of more marketing. And
yep, right across the board.
From your point of view, from your own personal point of view in developing Morocco, can you think of a project or an example of something that maybe you particularly enjoyed or the kind of, you know, I came away feeling that was feeling real pride or, you know, or something a bit different?
I wouldn't say, like, none of these websites that I worked on come to mind in that regard. Like, I loved working on all these websites. But the project that comes to mind is actually this thing called Formulate. Have you ever heard of Formulate?
Well, I haven't used it, but one of the reasons I reached out to you was I saw Formulate, and I thought that would be an interesting thing to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. So it's actually kind of like my passion project. So it started a good few years ago. Because a lot of the websites we were building, the clients would ask for or would want some sort of form builder so that they could create a contact form and then they could review submissions and have it send emails on submission and maybe contact an API like Salesforce or something of that sort. And so the typical choice is to do, then it was called Contour, now it's called Morocco Forms. I have a lot of experience with that. And because of my experience with that, I've seen the areas that it's less polished in. So I've experienced quite a bit of frustration with that tool, whether it's due to the slowness. We had one site where it would take like a minute to submit forms. So you just submitting a single form would take a full minute, and every now and then it would actually time out. Yeah, and there's quite a few bugs, and then certain areas are hard to customize. If you want to like change the text on a button, like the submit button, that at least used to be pretty difficult to customize on a per form basis. So yeah, I had all these issues with it, and I just kind of decided, all right, well, I think maybe I can improve upon this sort of thing, and I want to create my own kind of improved version of it. And so that's when the idea came about, and I thought I'd, you know, reach out to the community, see what they thought. Maybe they had some maybe some ideas around what they would want to see in such a tool. So yeah, I reached out to them, had a lot of good feedback. And then initially, I actually started calling this, the tentative name was Uformsia, just because, you know, that's kind of the naming strategy people tend to take is, you know, toss like a U in front of some name. And I thought, you know, form, Uformsia would be kind of a funny name. So I started doing this on my own free time. And then I told my boss about it, and he decided to actually take it on and allow me to work on it during my work time. And so I got several weeks there to actually work on it during my work time and really made it into something that was very, very usable. And then since then, I've been adding more and more to it over time. And so we're actually using it with a number of clients now, and it's actually got a lot of features built in. And I think it's pretty solid in terms of, you know, the level of bugs in it. I don't actually know of any open bugs at this point. It's pretty much a breeze to work with, super customizable. And the really nice thing is that it's open source and it's free. So if you want to, you know, do something really custom and just completely replace a portion of it, you could fork the repo and, you know, do some hyper customizations or submit a pull request. I definitely want to see some more community involvement. So if others are interested in contributing to it, I would be very much open to seeing that. We've actually had a couple of people already submit a few pull requests. So that was great to see. But definitely want to see some more people get involved with that, hoping that will happen over time.
So there's a couple of things I want to dig into there. So first of all, about the package itself. So tell me a little bit about how it actually works, like where it fits in Umbraco, where it fits in the workflow, and how like from an editor experience, where it fits in.
If I build a website for you, say you're my client, and now I hand this website over to you and you can start doing content entry, from your perspective, like a non-developer perspective, you would log into Umbraco, and you know, on the left-hand side, you'd see like the content section, the media section, and users and so on. And so what Formulate does is it adds an extra section. It's called the Formulate section. And you click on that. And then what you see on the left-hand side of the screen, kind of like the content section, you see a tree of content nodes. With Formulate, you see a tree of kind of the features it offers. The first thing you see off the bat is the forms. So what you can do is you can right-click on the forms and then say create a new form. And the idea is you could create like a contact form, a newsletter form, a user comment form, any sort of form that you would see in a website where a user types in like a text box or a radio button and clicks a button to submit the form. That's the type of form you would create in a visual designer, kind of like a GUI thing that doesn't require any technical knowledge. It's all kind of like click and drag and drop and so on. What Umbraco does for content, Formulate does for forms. It just makes it stupid simple to create contact forms and other types of forms.
They're placed on a page template or into a doc type?
Yeah, so that way that works. Again, it's very much does things in the way that the Umbraco ecosystem tends to do things. So it treats forms as content. So if you were to create a form in the Formulate section, you've got your contact form and you've maybe laid it out into like a two-column layout or what have you, because it also allows you to lay out forms into very customized layouts. You can then go into the content section and you go to, say, your homepage, and then you can add a property to your homepage that allows you to pick the form you just created. So you say, all right, on the homepage, I want to display the contact us form. And then maybe on, say, a blog post, you might want to select the like user comment form. So yeah, you could just go to different pages in your site, and so long as you have a form picker property on that page, you can select any of the forms that you've created, and then they'll just get rendered and displayed on the page.
From the developer side, how do I set up forms? Is there a particular way to help with things like, you know, front-end code and customization, and as well as how it actually works in the integrations with, well, even just email?
Yeah, so I could go on for days on that, but I won't. So I'll just give you the quick overview. So Formulate's built in a way that kind of decouples a lot of things and gives you a lot of options. But out of the box, what you get is that when you render a form, it'll actually do the rendering with AngularJS, Angular, you know, 1.x. And so you just design the form in the back office. And then when, as a developer, when you want to render the form, you basically just call an HTML partial and you pass it in the form model. And then ta-da, the form just appears on the page. And it does that all with Angular. And there was actually the front end part of that, the Angular, was mostly built by my coworker, Joseph Kahoot. He's a really fantastic front end developer, and he did a lot of great work on that area of Formulate. And then in terms of customization, everything's super customizable. So you can add your own field types. So say you want to have like a multi-upload field, because there's an upload field built in. But if you wanted to have like a multi-upload field, you could do that. There would be no problem doing that. There's, I think, 13 fields currently built in, but like I said, it's super customizable, and we've actually customized it for a few clients already. Where we tend to customize it the most is when you have like a complex field type. So maybe if there's like a job application form and you want someone to list their employment history, that employment history might be one to N items. You don't know how many employers someone's worked for. So you can't do that with like a simple text field. So in order to facilitate that, we create custom field types. And then that custom field types allows people to add as many employers as they've worked for. And then in terms of customizing the front end of it, there's actually no styles built in when you create your form. It does use the Bootstrap CSS classes, so it will kind of look okay if you have Bootstrap on your site. But you can actually set a configuration value to disable the output of those Bootstrap styles in case you want to not have the form be interfered with by the Bootstrap styles. You want it like fully custom. And so that is kind of the expectation, that you'll style the forms so that they'll look like the theme of the rest of your site. If you want to change the way a particular field works, so if you maybe, I guess dropdowns would be a good example. So by default, the dropdown field will just render out as like a select HTML field, you know, super basic HTML type of thing. But if you wanted it to render out with select two, you know, sort of like the fancy dropdown, Formulate allows you to modify the rendering of each of those fields without modifying the source code of Formulate itself. So you can kind of plug in your own customizations. What's nice about that is you can upgrade to new versions of Formulate without overriding all the customizations you've done. So that is kind of a really nice thing about Formulate. The other aspects of it that are pluggable are pretty much everything. But another one that comes to mind is the way it stores forms. So it stores forms and validations and layouts and all that sort of stuff on the file system in JSON files. However, that entire system of form storage is pluggable. So if you wanted, you could store it on Azure and Blob storage, or in a database, or pretty much anything that you would want to store it in. You should be able to customize it to be able to do that. So super duper customizable. In terms of, you know, using it out of the box, if you're a developer, you would want to go to formulate.rocks, and it has a lot of documentation, explains how to get started. But the quick version of how to get started is you go into NuGet and you search for Formulate, you install the NuGet package. That gives you all the backend code that you're going to need. And then you create a document type that has a property of type form picker, and that'll allow you to pick your form. And then in one of your CSHTML files, like maybe you have a home.cshtml or a primary or a master.cshtml, you'll call one of the partials built into Formulate and pass it the view model from that property on your page, and that will handle all the rendering of that form. So yeah, it's super simple to get started with.
I am interrupting the podcast for a quick announcement. This podcast is made possible with the support of MZone Software, where we relieve technical pressure for creative agencies. Are you running a creative or marketing-led agency that's struggling with tech and development? If so, we can help. To remove all your technical headaches, go to endzonesoftware.com/pressure. That's endzonesoftware.com/pressure. And now back to the show. The other part that I'm really interested about your story there is you started off with a side project, an open source side project, and then the agency you work for kind of embraced that and supported you. Can you tell me a little bit, one, about how that came about, and two, how that's, you know, on both sides, how that's either impacted the project or impacted the way you think about it?
It was kind of a thing I just did on my own and, you know, started working on in my free time. But, you know, I don't have a whole lot of free time, so that was, the progress was slow going, and I was anticipating that it was going to take probably several years to even get something viable, you know, out of the box or up and running. You know, I'd mentioned it to a lot of people, and then a lot of my coworkers had some of the same frustrations that I did. So I think that built up a little bit of momentum for something that would get rid of those frustrations. So I had a lot of people kind of, you know, had my back in terms of wanting to see something happen. I was really hoping that the Embraco core team would kind of step up and resolve some of those issues, but, you know, some of them were several years old and I kind of wasn't holding my breath at that point. So there were a few issues that clients had brought to us. Like, they had noticed that some of their forms were slow and some of their forms had bugs, and we kind of had to tell them no when they wanted certain customizations. So I think everyone on the team was kind of feeling the pain, like the developers were feeling the pain in terms of the level of difficulty to customize things or the bugs they would encounter. And I think the client services team were experiencing it because they were hearing a lot of this negative feedback around the forms that we were building. So I think there was just a lot of momentum build up there, and there was a lot of desire for something to change. And since I happened to be working on this thing in my free time, and my boss noticed that I had a lot of passion for this thing, he actually was able to work it into a timeline for one of our clients and get a little bit of time built in to actually build something usable for that client. And then on top of that, due to that kind of encouragement that I got, I actually upped my own personal time and spent a lot of my weekends in addition to my work time to just create the best version of this thing that I could. And yeah, so that's how it got started. Is there was just a lot of momentum around the whole agency, and even some people outside of the agency. A lot of people in the Embraco community felt the same pain that we did, and there was some enthusiasm pretty much across the board. And so that kind of energized me and enabled me to get something up and running pretty fast.
Yeah, I really like stories like that. I mean, it's an indication of a team, an agency, an employer who can kind of embrace your interest and passion and use that both to benefit you, but also to benefit the, you know, the agency, obviously, as well. What's also interesting to me is that I'm assuming they're happy with the idea of it being open source, and kind of they're helping or supporting you to create an open source product. And one, that's open source, which is not a lot of people, most people embrace, but it isn't always embraced. But secondly, the sort of challenge of, which I see quite a lot within agencies, of agencies needing to deliver the services to the client, but then also, you know, having people working on products on the side. To me, I just find that whole thing interesting. Have you had any challenges with it?
One of the biggest challenges is just every now and then someone will want a feature that maybe they've seen in another product like Embraco Forms or Contour. And it turns out that that feature is actually pretty difficult to build. So it'll take a bit of momentum. And in order for that thing to get built, it's not just going to get built the first time someone asks for it, because it's like, all right, well, this is how much it'll cost to build it. And they look at that price tag and it's like, well, maybe we don't want it as much as we thought. But it turns out that some clients actually do want these things enough that they're willing to kind of pay for it. But on top of that, I'm kind of willing to contribute as much time as the clients are willing to contribute. I'm willing to contribute pretty much the same amount of my personal time as well. So we both kind of have similar goals in mind, and that's kind of how things get done in terms of the Formulate project.
So just a very slightly changed tack. I noticed as well, like you think or you write and share stuff about Embraco generally. So in different places, there's an article I was reading just earlier on 24 Days In.
Oh, yeah. It was like the Embraco zeitgeist in 2015 or 2016.
I guess I'm interested in the fact that you're interested enough to be thinking about these things and putting the effort in to write and share and sort of get involved in the community. Is that something you enjoy doing? Is that basically how and why does that come about?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It's kind of one that I was thinking about recently myself. I actually just finished reading this book. It's called something like Motivation Doesn't Work and What Does. And one of the concepts they explain is kind of like the underlying reasons people do the things they do. Like sometimes people do things and maybe the direction that they choose to go isn't the direction that you necessarily choose to go. But when you look at the underlying value system and the underlying reasons for people doing things, it kind of makes a little bit more sense. So I can see from an outside perspective, someone who looks at me and says, like, why would that guy spend all of his free time working on Embraco? Like, it seems like a boring thing. It's all technical. It's not video games. Like, it's just, you know, content entry. Who cares about content entry? And who cares about forms? And who cares about all these things, right? But I don't know. When I think about it, I think one of the main draws for me is the community. So Embraco has a really sort of tight-knit community. It's a really open community and a really friendly community. And I guess the reason that I spend a lot of time with it is that that's an area where I see that I can give a valuable contribution. So I see that, you know, there's a need for a form builder tool. And I see this community that's really friendly. And so I think, all right, well, maybe I want to involve myself in this community and help them out. And as a result of that, not necessarily like as a reward, but as a result of that, I feel more tightly integrated into that community. There's a bit of positive things happening both directions, both for myself and then for the community as well. It's very synergistic and I think a very positive thing.
Do you think there's a change in the Umbraco community? So, and by that, I'm really sort of thinking about growth. So particularly in my experience, the last few years, Umbraco seems to be, you know, the rate of change and the rate of growth seems to be accelerating. Is that something you've seen as well?
I'm not really sure. It's kind of hard to tell because there's not a whole lot of numbers published. So it's hard to get a sense of the size of the community. I know that the Umbraco core team has published some numbers recently, and they said they have, I think it's something like 200,000 Umbraco developers worldwide, which is actually interesting because I had tried to guesstimate the amount of developers, Umbraco developers, I thought there were worldwide, and I came up to about 35,000. So I think there's a bit of wiggle room there in how many Umbraco developers there exactly are. And of course, it's kind of a nebulous concept anyway. Like, who is an Umbraco developer? If you've worked on one website, are you an Umbraco developer? If you worked on one website a year ago, are you still an Umbraco developer? So it's kind of hard to quantify that. But yeah, I don't know if I've noticed a whole lot of growth in the Umbraco community, but it may very well be that it has been happening. And then maybe as time goes on, it might become a little bit more apparent.
So now, looking forward to the future, I guess I want to phrase this question in two different contexts. One, from your own personal point of view and how Umbraco fits into that, have you thought about or do you have a projection and things you're going to stay involved in, an idea of where you're going next?
I definitely want to keep working on the Formulate project, so I don't see that stopping anytime soon. I suppose it'd be really cool if the, like, maybe the Umbraco core team wanted to team up with me. I kind of doubt that, but if they ever did want to team up with me and maybe make use of some of what I've done in Formulate, maybe combine it with some of the things they've done with Umbraco forms, that would be really neat to see. Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of interesting things coming out in the core of Umbraco. So there's like the nested content is supposed to get built into one of the upcoming versions of Umbraco. So I'm excited to get started with that. I'm kind of holding off on it. I'm using Archetype right now as sort of my widget building tool. And that's been working out really well for me. I do like some of the differences between nested content and Archetype. I think each have their own advantages. But I think once it's built into the core of Umbraco, it's going to kind of shift the advantages towards being in favor of nested content. So once that happens, I'm definitely excited to dig in and learn a little bit about that. Oh, Umbraco 8, so that's coming out and probably, I would guess, around the end of this year. I don't know if there's any set timeline on that one, but I'm really curious what sorts of things they're planning on that. I know they're building out the new cache, because I know the cache in Umbraco can be slow at times depending on what you're doing. So hopefully that will be a nice performance boost across the board. And yeah, I don't know. I haven't really thought too far into the future in terms of my involvement with Umbraco, but just what comes to mind is, you know, the things they have coming up in Umbraco 7.6 and Umbraco 8 and my continuous work on Formulate. I definitely want to evolve that as much as I possibly can and make it something that maybe the community would be really happy using.
And then the second sort of context for that question, if you have any thoughts on in terms of your agency, if the plan is to, you know, to change and if Umbraco, how important Umbraco is as they look forward.
As an agency, we're open to whatever technologies make sense at the time. So I don't know if some new CMS came out and it just nailed everything that people love about CMSs and it was just better than Umbraco, I don't think we would have any issue moving to that CMS. So I don't know that we're necessarily tied to Umbraco. I think we do love what Umbraco gives us and what it does for our clients. And it's a really spectacular tool for what it does. So yeah, definitely no sort of special allegiance in that area. But yeah, right now we can't think of any really better tool that serves clients in the way that we need it to serve clients. So I think we'll probably be sticking with Umbraco for a good while.
Thank you so much. So just to recap, anybody's listening who wants to maybe check out the things we've talked about, you said share maybe the links to Formulate, any links if people want to reach out to yourself and the agency.
Yeah, so a few that come to mind are, you know, formulate.rocks if they want to learn about Formulate. And that actually is a domain. Some people get confused because they're expecting a .com or a .net, but it's actually formulate.rocks. And then rhythmagency.com is the website for the agency that I work for. I have a personal blog, code101.net. So that's kind of, you know, I post articles here and there every now and then. There's also nicholaswesby.com. So that's like my personal portfolio website that shows off some of the work that I've done. So if people wanted to see some of the Umbraco websites that I built, for example, there's some screenshots and a little bit of history around the things that I've developed for those websites. So that's another thing they could check out. So yeah, so pretty much code101.net, Formulate Rocks, nicholaswesby.com, and rhythmagency.com.
That is something that people do keep asking me when they hear I'm doing this podcast, is to sort of share case studies and things. So I think people will be interested to check out some of the stories of the sites you've built there.
Awesome. Glad to hear it.
You can get all the links and notes from this episode on happyporchradio.com. If you enjoyed the show, please spare a moment to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Thanks for listening.